You're going to love my next guest, Abigail Manning, stop by. She's an awareness creator and culture builder and abusive behavior ender. Her extensive studies in mental health and healing modalities, research with her firsthand life experiences of overcoming childhood abuse, domestic violence, and PTS is a must listen. Grab a pen, take some notes. Abigail Manning, next on the Criminal Justice Evolution podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. I hope you are doing well. I am well because I get to talk to you. I get to bring great content to you every week. I appreciate it. I am grateful for each and every one of you. I hope you are having a fantastic day. If you have not given us that five-star rating and review on Apple Podcast, we sure would appreciate it. And share this show and other shows of the CJ Evolution podcast with your friends and family. Tag me. I will tag you back. I appreciate you. I am grateful. Big shout out to all the brave men and women who work in the criminal justice field. Whatever you were doing, wherever you were at, don't pay attention to all the noise out there. Don't do it. It's just noise. The vast majority of people in this country love, support, and admire what you are doing. Keep up the fantastic work, and above all, watch out for each other and come home safe. So excited to be partnered with a great company like Detectachem. This amazing and innovative company is protecting you, the first responder and military personnel, by offering mobile threat detection, fits in the palm of your hand, detecting illicit drugs, explosives, now COVID-19. Folks, this application-based technology is a must-have for your organization. Check out their link, Detectachem, on CJEvolution.com. On to Abigail Manning. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. I'm very excited to have my next guest on the show. I had the great privilege of talking to this great person last week. Her name is Abigail Manning. Now she's on the show. She's going to talk about the great work she's doing with first responders and our veterans and military personnel. Abigail, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Pat. How are you this lovely day?
You know, I'm fantastic. It's hot in Colorado.
Yesterday it was cold.
I know. It's crazy, man. You know, I remember growing up in Colorado. You know, I mean, we didn't even have air conditioning when I was growing up, you know, in Denver, because we didn't need it. Never got that hot. Now it's hot. It's like 90 some degrees. But yeah, you're right. It was cold yesterday.
Yeah. I love it. I don't want to live any place else.
No, you know, I agree. I love Colorado. So I gave a little bit of an intro at the beginning. Abigail, can you tell the listener a little bit more about Abigail Manning?
Sure. I'd be happy to. First and foremost, if they want to find me, they have to put Abigail G. Manning. Otherwise, you find Peyton Manning's sister-in-law.
Okay. I'll note that, you know.
I remember when I first started doing this work, people are like, I can't find you. I'm like, oh, those search engines. So you had to have it in there. Thankfully, it's getting a little bit easier to find me cool. As the years go by and things like that. But I love what I get to do. As you mentioned, the audience I work with, I also work with CEOs and executives and then their teams, like emerging leaders and all of that. But my real passion is a lot at working with the military, active duty as well as veterans, partly because I'm a mom and I'm a mom of Marines. And so I understand that culture very well. I'm extremely proud of my children. And I seem to resonate in that space. I'm kind of direct and clear. Hopefully I'm clear. But I really love working in that space. I understand the thinking, like, here's the problem. What are our solutions? Let's fix it. Roll up your sleeves, get it done, move on. Instead of like committee meeting after committee meeting. And so I really love what I get to do and helping people with some of the curriculum I developed that's all cognitive, social, and behavioral based.
Yeah. And I love that. And I know a lot of the programs that you have, but when you talk about going in there and talking to military, for example, or, you know, let's stick with the military. So what kind of things are you talking about, Abigail? I guess it's all different, but what kind of things do you think the military personnel, what's the reoccurring theme that they're struggling with or they need help with?
Sure. Like all of us, there's different topics that we have based on where we are in our careers, but ultimately almost all of my work, if you want to come back to one word, would be self-mastery.
Yeah.
So if you can have power and control over not only your body and your behavior, but the harder one, what you think, because I talk about think, say, do, and how they're all connected and in alignment. If you can have power and control over what you think and what you allow other people to infiltrate into your how you self-belief, your self-beliefs, that's amazing. So I get to talk about things that I love, like virtue and values and resilience and life skills, the types of things I had really wished I had been taught when I was a little kid, and all the things that I tried to instill in my own children while I was raising them, and the clients from my first company. And so I made my own curriculum, and so far it's worked really well, and it's a lot of values-based up and over the obstacle. And really what I'm focusing on, to be honest, Pat, is prevent the obstacle, prevent the struggle, prevent the problem, see it before it's coming, right? Slow everything down so you can see it as it's coming into you, so you know exactly calm, clear, direct which way to go. Yeah. And if you do get hit with whatever that problem or obstacle is, you know how to recover faster, better, and stronger as an individual, and also as a teammate. So I can have eyes on you. I can have your back. I can be watching for situations that you can't see. And so ultimately it's about individuals and teams.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I know you're very sought after, and I know you're very popular and successful with what you do. But I love what you said, Abigail. I mean, I loved all of it, but in particular, I like what you said about going back to the mind, because you said something that I think a lot of us, myself included sometimes, not as much anymore, is we're so worried about what other people think, you know, and so worried about things that many times never come to fruition. Why is it so difficult for people to get over the mental blocks that they have? I'm not talking about, we could talk about mental health, which is another topic we can scratch the surface on, but, you know, like, you know, insecurities and things like that, and afraid of what people are going to think. Why are people so wrapped up in that? Not everybody, but a lot of people.
Not everybody, but as far as I've done work with lots of people across the country and internationally. And what I have found is everyone has a limiting thought. Mm-hmm. Everyone has something that's embedded in them that they believe is a truth. And it's usually an unworthiness statement. It's a less than, I'll never be. You're either not enough or you're just too much. And I think, so the curriculum, I love that you asked that question, because the curriculum I built is on what I call purple threads. So think of PT, right? Mm-hmm. So purple threads are limiting personal thoughts that are connected to past traumas that become physiologically tied to what we think, say, and do. Your purple threads are your personal triggers. So I grew up with childhood abuse by both my parents, right? Because it started at such a young age, I believed it as truth. I believed all the different things that they verbally and physically, you know, pounded into me about myself. And they were positive things, right? Yeah, yeah. And so even though I'm like, oh yeah, watch me, I'll overcome it or suffer through it or really work hard to get up and over those obstacles and say, well, wait a minute, that's not true. If that was true, I couldn't run a company. If that was true, I wouldn't have friends. If that was true, and so it's a process. But the first step to that is most of us don't realize what that gnawing background noise is of that limiting personal thought. And so that's why I think we all have them, call it insecurity, call it self-doubt.
And a lot of it's conditioning, right? A lot of it's conditioning.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Or one situation happens and it's a big trauma, right? It can be a one-time huge trauma, or it can be a lot of little traumas that accumulate over time. And we take those on as our truths.
Yeah. So what was your aha moment, Abigail, where you said, you know, I need to get out of this. I mean, what was the catalyst for you to say, all right, I'm not going to let this get to me anymore. I'm going to seek help. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to become a better person. I'm not going to be defined by the things that have happened to me in the past. Because I think, in my opinion, that a lot of people, they think they're defined by their past. So if they've had failures, if they were abused, if they were, you know, talked down to and made to feel like they weren't anything, I think a lot of people live in that, you know what I mean? And they don't get past that. And I know it's hard work, but there a lot of people are defined by their mistakes and failures, and that really inhibits them. That's just my opinion.
I agree with your opinion. And I think people, we do fall into that trap of listening to those limitations and really truly believing them. And so I've always been a fighter. I've always been a protector. I've always had a servant heart. And so I think that is, I've always been strong that way. And I think that's what's helped me my entire life, of up and coming over things. Like, I believe in love, respect, and kindness. I don't believe in backstabbing people. I don't believe in if you're up, you know, that means I'm down. So for me to get up, I got to push you down. That's what I grew up with. Yeah, I just, yeah. It never resonated with me. It just didn't even make sense in my head. Like, what do you mean there's a limited supply?
Yeah.
Like, the more we give and the more we share, the more there is. And I just always believed in it, even though I was told I was crazy and stupid and dumb and all this other kind of stuff and naive and everything. But I find if you align yourself with like-minded people, you're able to build those skills.
Yes.
So much better. And we can see it and we can call it out. That's what I love about Purple Threads. You can call people out on their stuff. Yes. If they're being negative, like in an aggressive way, or if they're being really self-sabotaging, you can say, that's a purple thread. That is not truth. Don't do that to my friend. And really, it's been a long battle. Like you said, it was hard work. It's been a long battle, Pat, I'll be honest with you. But I was also raising kids during this time by myself. I was a solo parent from the time they were 5 and 2 and running a company and everything. And the real catalyst, when you asked for that, was, I don't recommend this for people. I went through a really physical, violent situation with a domestic violence, and I landed in the pit of PTS. And it was the first time my optimistic attitude, my hard work ethic, I'll just grind right through this, couldn't get me out of that pit. And I had to get help. I couldn't do it on my own. Yeah. And that was the real catalyst to this. This really stinks down here. And I don't want anybody in this pit. I don't want anybody circling this pit. How can I help people prevent from getting here? Because the more I spoke about my experiences and the curriculum I built, the more people kept saying, I've had this, I've had that. And here's my unworthiness statement. Yeah. And I realized everyone is hiding one of those things. And if we're not careful and we keep shoving it down, we find ourselves in some kind of pit in one way or another.
Yeah, I think it well said. And I agree with you 100%. I have gotten help. I still have a therapist that I talk to for all the stuff that I've dealt with and continue to deal with. I don't think, everybody needs to talk to, you are not an island. So a lot of people think, I know I was one of those people, and you said you were one of those people. Well, I can do it alone. I was one of the toughest military units in the military. I was a cop for 23 years. There's nothing I can't take. Yeah, there's only so much before it starts boiling over, right?
Right.
You know, and you have to release that. And a lot of people, maybe the listeners out there, some people are saying, well, you know, it's a sign of weakness. No, being vulnerable is a strength, especially with men. And I was one of those guys, you know, Abigail, well, I would never talk about anything, not problems. I'm not going to talk about that. That's a sign of weakness. No, being vulnerable is a superpower, in my opinion. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't like the word vulnerable because I think it's almost like a hurdle. So,
oh, okay, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like so many people, especially you big tough guys, big tough women. I mean, my daughter's a Marine too. You tell her vulnerable, ugh.
Well, I think being able to talk about things.
Right. You know? And so what I'm saying, and I'm not disagreeing with you, what I'm saying is I love changing language. Yeah. So if language becomes your hurdle, right? Don't call it a therapist. Call it a coach.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
Call it, you know, like I need mirror work. I need someone to reflect back to
that's
me.
That's a good point.
So change the language. If you're saying like, I don't want to be vulnerable, that makes me almost gag. I know, like, you know, like that feeling. Then say, I want to be open. I want to be honest. I need to be transparent. Like, so what I love about the military is it's always coming from a place of strength. You and I are strong people. The people that we are aligned with are strong people. We want to be strong people. We are strong people. And we have this misconception that strong people don't have these great resources around them. And I love that you talk about an island, because I talk about three bridges, that every single person needs three ways off the island.
Yeah.
They need three solid relationships, personally, professionally, family, friends. And you don't build the bridge when you need it, when the island is burning down.
Yeah, true.
You build it beforehand. And that's by making commitments to people, listening to them, being there for them, being vulnerable, as you said, which is transparent. I like using the word, you know, transparent with, I'm going to be, you know, I'm in all transparency, this is hard for me to tell you. And versus if I tell you, Pat, to be honest, then it feels like everything I've ever told you is maybe dishonest.
Yeah.
So language is something I help people really focus on so they don't use that as a hurdle to keeping them from healthy lives.
Yeah, I love it. And it makes me, when you say about language, Abigail, it makes me think about, you know, PTSD and how I've learned over the years that the word disorder, you know, is also, you know, it's a lot of times, again, I don't know, you probably heard it, it's, there's like a negative connotation to it. It's like, okay, I have a disorder. Whereas if you just say PTS or PTSI, an illness can be overcome or you can recover from an illness rather than, it's just, you know what I mean? You probably heard it. A disorder is kind of, it's just a play on language, like you said.
I'm totally shaking my head. Yes. I've had people, and I don't lock horns. I'm like, if that works for you,
yeah, it works for you.
Feel like that much more empowered. Like I have PTSD. Like I have people get very passionate about that. Like it was not just a little wimpy thing. Good, go for it. That's you. That's what you need. I don't want that D on there. Don't you label me. Don't label me a victim. Don't label me a survivor. Don't label me, you know, like a disorder, because you're right. That's an extra hurdle for me to be able to raise my hand and say, I have that. And a disorder tends to be lifelong.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, it was a lot of hard work. There are times I'm triggered. There are times I see it, but nowhere near like it was.
Sure.
Right. I do things that I never thought I could do. I get more powerful and more empathy and more sensitive and more kind because I know other people are struggling with PTS. So I agree. Language is really important. And for me, and you know, I know people, some people call it post-traumatic stress growth. Well, for me, when you're down in that pit, you're not looking at this like, yay, this is an opportunity for me to grow.
True. you're in that dark place, right? I mean, you're like, yeah, it's a great point. I mean, most people aren't thinking that way.
Right. And I think it just does more what I call finger pointing language. It puts more shame, blame, and judgment on the person who's in there. I should not be feeling this way. How can I be this down? This should be an opportunity for growth. I think in hindsight, it's huge growth. But not when you're in the pit, not when you're clawing your way out of the pit, not when you're sitting on the side. And going back to what you were saying, it's so much easier to get out of it when you have people, when you have support, when you have help, when you're not doing it alone. Because you can't do it. When you get down to that far on what I call the adverse spiral, you can't do it alone.
No. And I like what you said about having the right people around you. I think too many people out there, again, just speaking from my experience and people I talk to, they surround themselves with the wrong people. You know, they surround themselves with the toxic people. And they're probably friends. And I mean, you probably know Abigail. I mean, I got family members that are toxic, you know, that I don't want to hang out with. And maybe a friend that is toxic. But yet a lot of people continue to you know, go and follow in that tribe. And then they wonder why nothing's changing for them.
Right.
And they wonder why their attitude isn't changing, or, you know, their cognitive development isn't changing or getting better. You know what I mean? So it's very, how do people get out of that? I mean, how do you teach people and get the point across that you are who you associate with? You know, Jim Rohn said, what, you're the average of the five people you hang out with? So I don't know if you talk about this with people. I imagine you do. So what do you tell people about, you know, kind of looking at who you're associating with? And sometimes you gotta, you know, say, I'm not going to hang out with you anymore. You do it in a tactful way. I mean, maybe, I mean, I don't know, but how do you approach that?
When you keep elevating yourself, the people that don't want to elevate will do one of two things. They'll keep yanking you back down. Who are you? Get back down here. You'll see that in times when people lose a lot of weight and then their spouse.
That's a good point.
Get back here. I don't want you looking so attractive out in the world. You know?
Yeah, it's true.
And so they either want to yank you down, and you can decide, you have power and control. Am I going to allow someone to pull me down and pull me backwards and add more weight on me? Or with love, respect, and kindness and love and light, you're going to cut that tether and you're going to move on. Or they're going to elevate to come up to where you are and you can encourage. And those are the wonderful like relationships and that can become lifelong.
Yeah.
Right. We don't just cut off all of our ties, but if it's a repeated mistreatment, repeated negative behavior, repeated toxic behavior, then we know the path. And with transparency, we can be very direct and calm and say, hey, John, I've noticed you've been saying these things about me, and I'm really on the path of building myself up. And if you're not on board, that's okay. But I can only have people around me that support me in that path.
See, and I think that, and I love that, but But I think the hard thing for most people is having that conversation.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, not addressing the 800-pound gorilla in the room. It'll just go away by itself. And, you know, a lot of people are like that. They don't want to have those. You and I are like that, but they don't want to have those difficult conversations.
Right. And I think it's because we don't practice them. We're not taught. That's why I talk. Communication is one of my classes. Nonverbal, verbal, all of that, body language. How do we have those tough and critical conversations that can actually build stronger teams and stronger tribes and stronger work relationships and stronger families, right? Just how do you have those and stay in your own power and control and not get triggered? That's why personal threads, I have to know what mine are, because if I'm with someone who's toxic, I'm with someone who's narcissistic, you better believe they know what they are, my personal limiting thoughts, and they're going to pull on them, they're going to yank on them, they're going to twist them and use them like marionette strings. And so if I allow myself to get triggered by them, they have the power and control, which is ultimately what toxic people want. They think it's a limited supply. And so if I have confidence, they're going to want to take it.
Wow. And that's a great point. And self-awareness, right? I mean, being, you know, taking that time, not just once, but continually self-assessing yourself. I call it, when I do that, I call it a search warrant on myself.
Oh, I like that.
Where I, you know, digging deep, take some time alone without any distractions. And really, like you said, all right, what are my triggers? You know, who am I, for one? What do I want in life? What are my goals, aspirations, all that stuff? And what do I not want in a friend or a partner or whatever? You know what I mean? So I know my triggers, and I know, like you said, your purple threads. So, because a lot of people, I think, and you tell me if I'm wrong, Abigail, they don't know. They haven't done that self-assessment. And so they don't know when somebody's pulling on that thread, right?
Right. And manipulators are incredibly.
Oh, they're gifted. They're talented.
They're so gifted. If we could take that ha ha ha, it would be an amazing world. Yeah. And so what you're doing is what the two part. One is know what your personal limiting thoughts are and your triggers and how that feels and what your warning system is in your body. And then two, really vamp up and clarify your values. Does this bring me closer to my values? And whatever word that is, like to me, integrity was always a huge word at the top of my list. Mm-hmm. I will not compromise my integrity. I won't do it. And so that's an easy call. Should I do this? Should I not? If someone writes me a check and they write it to my name versus my company, it's company money. I was there doing company work.
Yeah.
Like, right? Like I don't compromise my integrity.
Well, you shouldn't. Because once you go down that slippery slope,
right.
You know, and right. Everything else. If you're, and I'm a big believer that if you're lacking in one area of your life, maybe it's personal integrity or morals or ethics or whatever, then you're probably lacking in other areas in your life or not doing 100%. Does that make sense?
What do you mean by lacking?
Well, so if you're a financial mess and you're not taking, you know, the time to get that squared away, then it's probably a mess in other parts in your life too. You know what I mean? Maybe I'm wrong, but you know what I mean? I just think that a lot of things are connected. So if you're not taking the time to focus on certain things in your life, like a relationship, a husband, wife, if you're not taking time to foster that marriage and foster that, marriage or whatever type of relationships, then I think a lot of things it's probably suffering in other areas of your life too. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. And I think that you can be highly functional in some areas, brilliant, gifted, all of that, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Dad was brilliant in a lot of different areas, but not in interpersonal. And I think it all stems back to because it was up here in his brain. He hadn't worked out a lot of the trauma that he had been raised with and lived through and everything like that. So it doesn't necessarily leak into other places, but I think that it's always running around in your head. Mm-hmm. So some people are very good at compartmentalizing, right? So they can be super successful in one area. But like you said, if you're falling apart in one area, it's really like a house, like your basement's super, super messy, but upstairs where everybody goes is really clean, right? That doesn't mean your house is super clean. It means that you're good at putting on a show. And my goal is to build authentic health where you know everything is squared away. You know your weaknesses, you know your strengths, you're okay with them. So if someone taunts you or life throws you a challenge and you're not good at math, but you have to do a lot of math if you're going to do a startup company and you can't afford a bookkeeper and accountant yet.
Damn it, I can't afford one. I'm horrible at math.
I am too. So I have a bookkeeper and accountant.
Oh, there you go.
But But you don't stop yourself from starting that company because like it's a limiting thought. I can't do that. I'm not good at that. So you can have messy areas of your house. I guess that's my point, Pat, is I don't want people to think that every room is going to be tidy.
Oh, no. No, and I like what you said about, you know, those limiting beliefs, I can't do it. And I always tell people, look, you mentioned like maybe starting a business. Look, the traffic lights of life are never going to be green at the same time.
What?
They're never going to be green at the same time. So, but again, that goes into that limiting, well, I can't start that business. I can't write that book. I can't go to a seminar, to listen to Abigail Manning. I can't do that. It's not the right time. Well, when is the right time?
Right.
No, and it's that limiting belief, you know, right. Time waits for nobody, you know, and one thing's for sure, you know, today, tomorrow will come, be a little older. So get rid of the limiting beliefs. And I know that's easier said than done.
But. It's easier said than done, but it's actually fun. It's amazing to me how in my workshops and retreats, I can take people from everybody's having fun. We do the deep dive and people are like, yeah, do people really want to sign up for that? They do because it's so rewarding and it's done in a positive environment. And I have, and then you give the tools how to not slide into those limiting thoughts, into those things that self-sabotage. Like, okay, I'm not good at math. How am I going to pre-plan? That's how we avoid the obstacle. How am I going to pre-plan? Who do I know that is? How can I Google, use technology, use resources, my three bridges? I'm going to put a call out to them and say, I'm really struggling. I can't figure out the math of this part. You know, who can help me? Yeah. And then you find you have all these great resources around you. And then you have this unity. And it's honestly, at the end of the day, if we can have hope and optimism in ourselves and the people around us, but unity, those are the two biggest tools that we can have to avoid the adverse spiral of letting stress and fear fall right down to the bottom of the pit.
Yeah. And the one thing I've learned about fear is, you know, most of the thing, and I think I mentioned this before when we were talking, most of the things that people fear, and I'm speaking from experience, let me just use me. Most of the things I feared about throughout my life, either one, never came to fruition, or two, if they do, they weren't as big as I imagined them in my mind. They were, you know, it's like, you know, turning a mountain into a molehill, meaning I thought it was going to be, oh my God, it was going to be the end of the world. It was going to be Armageddon. And oh, I guess it's not that bad. I am going to survive this. But you know what I mean? I think too many people are crippled by fear. So what do you tell people? I mean, because there's different fears out there. I get. And some fear is healthy. You know, we don't want kids putting, you know, their hand on an open flame and stuff. I get that. But how do you tell people to get rid of some of that fear as far as limiting beliefs? I mean, what do you tell them?
What tools do you get? Yeah. And so we talk a lot neuroscience, like, you know, your executive functioning brain turns off and the crocodile brain kicks in. And that's when we go into trigger. And that's where fear lives. That's where it loves to thrive. So that's where, going back to the earlier conversation about military, is that a fact?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a fact or is that a feeling?
Yeah.
Is it a fact that my house is going to burn down? No, it's not. You know, how often does that really happen? Do you have insurance on your home if it does happen? You know, and you go through the facts and then you say, is it a fact that I'm stupid and dumb and nobody likes me? No, that's a limiting thought and a fear. So when I meet new people, I'm going to consciously rewire that and say, I'm smart and I'm intelligent. And if they don't like me, it's okay. I like myself. And it's a totally different conversation than me trying to prove you should like me or me being defensive and saying, he's not going to like me anyway. So I'm going to throw the first punch. Right. And so we get these worlds that are more truth-based and we realize it's safer than we thought. We realize it's safe because we own the power and control within us versus it's up to other people. And that's where fear lives. Fear lives when we don't feel like we have power and control.
Yeah. I love it. So you talk about all different types of topics out there. I mean, you're very well versed. No, I'm serious. What are some of the favorite? I know we've been talking about a couple. We've been, you know, hitting a couple different topics. But what are some of your favorite? You mentioned leadership at the beginning. What are some of the favorite topics that you just, man, I get jazzed when I talk about?
Yeah, the purple threads, because it's
I love that
so much. And I have people years later saying that changed my life. I have people years later saying that saved my life. I have people who said that was the difference in our marriage. I could just say purple thread. So learning how to speak language in different ways, like we give codes so you can say PT, And then it's across the table. In other words, you're starting to spin out of control. You're getting on your soapbox. And that's all you have to say is PT.
Yeah. I like it. It's a little code.
Yeah. And I love it because when I first started teaching this in the Navy, I also have a sexual harassment prevention class for like thriving, healthy leadership and workplace environments. And they're like, we're gonna give it a go, but we don't think it's really gonna work. And I loved it because immediately we had a deep dive. People, they want to get this off their chest. And I create a safe environment because I'm authentic. And like you said, vulnerable. I'm a vulnerable person. I stand up there and I'm willing to share because that's how I serve, so that they can see what it looks like, because some people have never seen it before. I hadn't. I had never seen people stand up there and do that and say, it's okay. You can be strong and you can have trauma and struggles in your life, and you can become even stronger because of them. And here's what I've done. And so what I like about it, Pat, is that I have half the people saying, this is what I've been through. I've never addressed it. I've never looked at it. And then they see trauma. We go through what is trauma and definition of it. And then I also have the other half of the room saying, I'm the jerk.
Yeah.
I'm the manipulator.
Yeah.
And that's really powerful, because then they go home, and not only in the work environment, but in their relationships as neighbors in their community, it changes how they see themselves. Like, it was actually an Air Force guy that said, I have an idea about the purple thread. And he's like, you know, when you're all in your, in the Marines, they call them dress blues. And I can't think about it in the Air Force right now, what you guys are in the Army, what you call it. But it's like, you see something, and the Marines have those tiny little scissors and they snip every little thing. I mean, they are squared away. And imagine this big purple thread on there. Like, you can't, there's no way it would bug you. You have to get it off. And he said, that's what your purple threads did. It's gnawing at me. Every time I turn around, I'm now seeing my purple thread, and I have to work on it. I have to pull it out. I have to unknot it. And so I actually incorporated that now in my workshops, so the physical piece of purple yarn that we incorporate. And that's what I like, is people say, I'm seeing it more and more and more. And now I can laugh at the things that used to make me like just crumble.
Yeah. Do you think, now you mentioned you do a lot of corporate stuff, you go into businesses and talk about, I imagine, the same things that you're talking to first responders in the military. Are there any differences between talking to like people in the private sector or talking to, you know, people like in the military, the public sector? Or are we all dealing with the same stuff?
We're all dealing with the same stuff, but I'll be honest, my delivery is different.
Yeah, okay.
My delivery is different. I find in first responder, military, veteran community, it's much more direct. It's much more.
Yeah, just give it to me straight.
Give it to me straight. Give it to me. What is it?
I just want A to Z. I don't want all the stuff in between.
And I also find that not humor is used very often. And I bring a lot of humor.
Are you talking about in the corporate field?
No, in the military.
Oh, wow.
Like not bad mouth humor, but like,
yeah, just humor.
But like just humor and like silly videos. And like, I did a LEDx talk at the Air Force for Maxwell Air University, and I had Legos in my PowerPoint.
That's awesome.
And so that's different. Whereas in corporate environment, that doesn't seem to be like, what is this woman doing? Right. That doesn't seem to resonate. And they want more dialogue. I think the CEO's level, like, okay, let me see if I get this right, processing it, sending it back, getting that feedback loop. And so there is a difference in that. And humor just seems, I don't know. It's funny. The military actually laughs harder than the CEO. Like, it's just, it's
what about the first responders too? First responders do, you know?
Yes, they do. They have a great servant heart too. I don't do a ton of work with first responders, but I would love to. And a lot of people in my network do. So I often say, here's someone who really understands that community extremely well. And I don't, I'm not a first responder. I don't have family in it, but I would love to work more and more in that. So if you have an idea, let me know.
Oh, I will. And getting back to humor, first responders, I mean, it's like the military. I mean, it's paramilitary. And a lot of people in the first responder community, as you probably know, I mean, they've come from the military.
Right.
And so, you know, we have, for the most part, we have a great sense of humor. The last thing we don't like is somebody to come up there. I've been to plenty of seminars and you know, training sessions where somebody's just, oh, come on, tell a joke or something just to. So what's next for Abigail? What, I mean, you're doing so much, and I know it occupies a lot of your time, and you know, you don't have to worry about small kids anymore. So what, I see bigger things in your, like maybe a book. I mean, a podcast? I mean, what? I mean, no, you're doing all kinds of great stuff. I mean, what are you just happy and fulfilled with what you're doing?
I am happy, and I choose to be happy. I mean, yeah. Life is still hard, you know, yeah. And running a company is hard, right? But I choose to be happy, and I choose to put the tools into place to be there. And thank you for saying my success. Sometimes I need to be there. I always had that not quite good enough, like, eh, you know, when you have a big corporate office, when you have all this other kind of stuff, and that's why I have to go back to what are my values? What are my virtues? Is it to have, 3,000 likes on something? No. Is it to change lives? Like, where three people specifically say yes.
Yeah, that's all that matters.
So that's my value, but it's easy to get off track, right? And then I have to stop. And like you did the awareness check, I can't remember what you called it, but I liked it.
The search warrant.
Search warrant. There you go. Maybe the language wasn't coming to my head. And to me, that is the stop and the sit. And the switch and that analysis. And so for me, I'm doing some of that. Like, what do I really want to be doing now that COVID seems to be over? I really want to be traveling. I'm really excited about some of those doors opening up again. I've been teaching sometimes remote and stuff. I do have a book. I don't know how you know about that, because I have not shared that in our conversations.
What? I was just assuming that you maybe were going to write a book because you're very knowledgeable and you...
I chickened out, Pat. So you're calling me out, which is good. You're being a good bridge right now.
I hate to assume, but I was like, she's got a book in her. I know she does. Go ahead.
Thank you. No, thank you for thinking that in me and saying you have a book in you. That's powerful. So when we see that in other people, and we can see it more in ourselves, and we can believe it more in ourselves, and we can hardwire some of those positive statements in my head. So I did, I wrote a book.
That's awesome.
I needed to shelve it because I wanted to learn more, and it's time to take it back out and dust it off, refine it, refresh it, add what I've learned. Okay. Thank you to you.
Everybody heard Abigail Manning. She's dusting it off. It's going to be out there, and she's going to come back on hopefully when the book is out.
Absolutely.
And talk about it, or before it comes out.
If you'd have me back on.
Of course.
And then doing more, I'm building a thing. I've been talking to a couple different people about doing physical retreats. Every Thursday, I'm the Denver Veteran Engagement Coordinator. That's a lot to say in one sentence. For Team RWB, it's a nonprofit for veteran organizations where civilians and veterans come together to enrich the lives of veterans through community and physical activity. And I love what I've built, the curriculum, and now I want to take it. And it's really physically and mentally overcoming things, literally like cargo nets, doing things physically you didn't think you could do, doing team engagement exercises, camaraderie building. So I'm in the process of building that, and I've thrown it out there. So if you or anybody else listening to this is like, we have a retreat center, we're looking for things like that. I'm manifesting that. That's coming up. I'm very excited about it.
I love what you said about manifesting. Yeah, that's awesome. Because I'm a big believer in, I think we talked about this off the air last week. I'm a big believer in law of attraction, visualization. And I love that. I love those topics because I think you, in my opinion, you know, if you want something in life, I mean, you got to put action behind it. I get that. But it starts with visualization, right? I mean, everything around us started with a thought.
Yeah.
You know, everything does. So thoughts are powerful. Right?
They're very powerful. That's why my curriculum, if you boil it down to the simplest, it's think, say, do.
Love it.
Because if you can think it and you can visualize it in your head and you can concentrate on that, and then you can articulate, speak, voice that thought, then get going and do it, right? Yeah. Figure out ways, make a phone call. Hey, retreat center, are you looking for a different kind of curriculum? Hey, who do you know that, you know, like, you will manifest it, but yeah. You have to start with think. You have to start with believing in it. And even if you're not, like, almost that cleaning house analogy, even if you're like, I'm not so sure, if you're not a little scared or a lot of scared, then the idea probably isn't big enough.
Yeah, exactly. And I think science, correct me if I'm wrong, Abigail, I think science is estimated we have about, as humans, the average person has about 80,000 thoughts a day. And the same thoughts that you had today were probably the same thoughts that you had yesterday. So if you're thinking negative and, you know, those limited beliefs, again, if you change just what, 10% of those thoughts, imagine how dramatic your life could change for the better.
I love that. So we talk about rumination, how the brain ruminates and why does it ruminate, and how you literally can get addicted to ruminating, repeating the same thought process and unproductive, negative, toxic thought process over and over and over. And you're right. If you just change like 1%, 10% of that.
It's amazing. You're in your life. Yeah. That's what I did. And I'm not some expert or anything. I just heeded that advice. And do I still have negative thoughts? Of course, I'm human. I mean, we're human. They're going to pop in your head, but not as much as it did before, because now I have tools at my disposal.
Right. Yes. Recognize them and pull out those tools as soon as you recognize them, as fast as you can.
Yeah.
Yep.
Abigail Manning, you rock. I could talk to you all day. So if people want to reach out to you, I know I got your website, but I want you to tell people where they can find you and any other contacts that you might want to share. And now everything's going to be linked up in the show notes for the listener out there, but tell people how they can find you.
Perfect. And I'm laughing because my dog is standing on the other side of the glass, like repeatedly barking, and I ran him.
Oh, it's fine. He's just being a dog. He's like, hey, mom, you done yet? Let's go out for a walk.
I know. He's emotionally needy. He's having a lot of thoughts in his head. Like, why am I abandoned? Okay, so maybe you can edit that part out.
I'm keeping it in. I think that's funny.
All right, there you go.
I like it.
So they can reach me. I am so excited, Pat. I'm getting up with the big leagues. I have a YouTube channel. Woo!
That's awesome.
So I just put that out this week. So anybody wants to go and just continuously play the podcast, then I don't have zero views. That would be great. So they can find it at Abigail G. Manning. They can find more information at abigailgmanning.com. And everything, all my contact information is on there. And obviously through the show notes and through you, but I just am so grateful for this time and this opportunity. I learned from you. I loved our first, phone call that we chatted, and the work that you're doing. I admire that you are in the military, you were in the police, that, you still carry that heart as you go forward. So thank you so much for all you did and all you do.
Well, I appreciate it, Abigail. Much success to you in the future. Anything you need from me, I mean, you have my contact information, and I hope I can talk to you again in the near future. And again, I'm holding you to the book. You're on a clock now.
Oh, dang. I wish you could hold me more to the retreat. That doesn't scare me.
Well, that too. When the book is ready to come out, seriously, I want you to come back on to talk about it. And I'd love to, but even before the book, I'd love to have you come back on. I'd love to talk about other stuff.
Perfect. I would too. It's an honor. Thank you very much.
Abigail.
Delighted, and I'd be happy to be back anytime you want.
All right. Take care.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast. For more strategies for self-improvement and resources based on today's episode, be sure to head to cjevolution.com. You can also connect to Patrick directly on social media at @Pat_Fitzgibbons with any questions, comments, or concerns. We look forward to helping you find more personal success on the next episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast.